Paul says, they know nothing of true freedom. They think freedom is the right to do what you want. God says freedom is the power to do what you ought.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
In verses 1 to 3 of Ephesians, the second chapter, you have a portrait of what man is by nature. In verses 4 to 10, you have a portrait of what man can become by grace. Paul wants us to see what we were. And that should make us thankful when we realize what we've become in Christ. And then he wants us to see not only what we were, but what lost men still are. When we see what we were, we should be thankful that we've been delivered. We've been extricated. We've been set free. When we see what they are, we should be burdened to share this message of all messages, this message of the gospel, this only message which can liberate. Jesus Christ is the greatest liberator in the universe. We need to share this message with others so that they can be delivered just as we have been delivered. I think we should be thankful for our deliverance from the dilemma. And we should be burdened for the deliverance of others. And on a practical basis, that means we ought to invest ourselves in touching as many lives as possible. Now, what is man's dilemma? As I look at what Paul says in Ephesians 2, 1 to 3, and there are so many things that could be said here, but as I look at what Paul says in Ephesians 2, 1 to 3, it seems to me that there are three appalling truths which are presented with respect to unredeemed humanity, with respect to unredeemed men. And those same appalling truths were characteristic of us before we came to Christ. Paul says, this is what we were, and this is what they are. And as you visualize that, as you begin to see it, as you get the picture, it ought to be a compelling inducement to do whatever is necessary to deliver them from it. So Paul says, here are the three appalling truths. Number one, he says, we were dead. Ephesians 2:1. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Number two, he says, we were not only dead, we were enslaved. We were under the influence, the dreadful bondage of three powerful ingredients which directed and controlled our lives and from which we could not extricate ourselves. We could not deliver ourselves. He says it's the world, it's the devil, and it's the flesh, very clearly, verse 2 and the first part of verse 3. And then finally, he says, we were condemned. We were dead, we were enslaved, and we were condemned. We were by nature children of wrath. That's what we were until Christ liberated us, and that's what they are. And those three ingredients should help us to visualize the awesome circumstances of unredeemed humanity, and it ought to be a compelling inducement to make us thankful for our deliverance and burdened for theirs. Now, Paul says, first of all, in verse 1, if you see it there, if you have your Bibles open, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul says, we were dead. I wonder if I could talk briefly about the cause and the concept. What was the cause of our spiritual death? Paul says, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And those two words give a fairly comprehensive account of human evil. That word trespasses means a false step involving either the crossing of a known boundary or a deviation from the right path. It is a going astray. That's what the word means. Paraptoma is the word. It is a going astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned, every one of us, to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon Christ or caused to fall upon Christ the iniquity or the guilt or the liability of us all. It means, that word trespasses, it means taking the wrong road when we could have taken the right road. That's the meaning of the word. It means failing to grasp the truth that we should have known, failing to reach the goal that we should have reached. First, trespasses, and then sins. That's that word hamartia. It's the most common word in the New Testament for sin. It's a shooting word. It literally means a miss. And Paul means that sin is the failure to hit the target of life. Sin is the failure to hit the target of life, the failure to be what we ought to be or what we could have been. Have we missed the target as husbands, as wives, as parents, as children, as workmen? You see, when we realize what sin is, it's going astray, trespasses. It's missing the target of life, sins. It is something with which life is permeated. It touches every one of our lives. It is failure in any sphere of life to be what we ought to be, what we could have been. It is rebellion against the right which we know, the truth we have seen. That is the cause of man's problems, trespasses and sins. That's the cause of our death. We were dead, Paul says, and so are they. And the cause of it is trespasses and sins. Now let's look at the concept for a moment. What is spiritual death? We were dead. That is perhaps the most difficult truth in all of the Bible for human beings to believe. This biblical statement about the deadness of non-Christian men. We look at the vigorous body of an athlete. We look at the lively mind of a scholar. We look at the vivacious and effervescent personality of a man of notoriety or a woman of notoriety. Are we to say with Paul that such people outside of Christ are dead? And Paul says, yes, indeed, that is precisely what we are to say. He says, we must learn to penetrate the veneer. We must learn to look beyond the superficial charm and gaiety of human life and see what is in the heart. For in the sphere which matters supremely, which is neither the body, nor the mind, nor the personality, but in the spirit of a man, in the soul of a man, in the heart, in that sphere which matters supremely, they have no life. They are dead. And you can tell it. They are blind to the glory of Jesus Christ. They have no appreciation for the moral character of the Son of God. They're deaf to the voice of the Holy Spirit. He speaks to their hearts, but they don't listen. They are oblivious to the love of the Heavenly Father. He reaches down to them in condescending love, but they are unresponsive to His overtures and His approach. So we should not hesitate with the Apostle Paul to affirm that a life without God, however physically fit, however mentally alert that person may be, is a living death, and that people who live that life are dead even while they are living. In fact, you and I know exactly what that means. Because for many years we lived our lives without Jesus Christ, and we were dead while we were alive. And it wasn't until this dead human spirit was impregnated with the life of God's Holy Spirit, when we humbled ourselves before Jesus Christ and received Him as our Lord and Savior, that we knew what it was to be alive and to experience a life with a capital L, abundant life, through Jesus Christ. When primeval Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, God's spiritual life was withdrawn from him. At the instant of rebellion, God said, "In the day thou eatest thereof, dying thou shalt die," in the Hebrew, "thou shalt surely die." At the instant of rebellion, our original parents were spiritually short-circuited, as though the plug was pulled out. All of the divine power and spiritual life of the omnipotent Creator God was cut off from His special creation, man. And man became spiritually dead. Sin severed the cord which bound the human spirit to God, and so entirely alienated man from the life of God that he can only be spoken of as spiritually dead. That's why there are two great characteristics of unregenerate humanity. One is impotence, the other is decadence. He's dead. Death always brings impotence. Death always brings decadence. It brings decay. That's why unredeemed humanity is impotent. It means that a man is powerless to save himself. There was nothing I could do to save myself. I needed the almighty power of God to invade my anatomy. When I heard and understood the message of the gospel and my eyes were opened up to it, by faith I responded to it, and the omnipotent power of God flooded my being, made me a new creature in Christ, made me alive. I was dead, I came alive. I was impotent to help myself. I was totally dependent upon God Almighty to do a work, and He did it through the message of the gospel. It rescued me from an otherwise hopeless situation. Impotence is characteristic of death, and so is decadence. Whenever there's physical death, there's decay, there's decomposition. And so it is morally and spiritually. Moral and spiritual putrefaction comes to characterize human life apart from Jesus Christ. Decay, decomposition, disintegration in all the critical areas of a man's life are directly traceable to his alienation from God, his spiritual death. Paul says, now, number one, I want you to understand something. This is what you were, and this is what they are. You were this, you are no longer, you should be thankful. They remain in this condition, you should be burdened. They are dead. That's what you were. Then he says, it goes even further. And not only were we dead, he says, but we were enslaved. Do you notice in verse 2 and also verse 3, because men without Christ are spiritually dead, Paul says, they know nothing of true freedom. They have a perverted form of freedom. They think freedom is the right to do what you want. God says freedom is the power to do what you ought. They don't understand it. Because men are spiritually dead outside of Christ, they know nothing of true freedom, but rather are subject to a fearful and a dreadful bondage over which they have no control. Three powerful influences control and direct non-Christian men and women. That's what Paul says in verse 2 and verse 3. Do you notice those three? Number one, he says it's the world. He says, you walked according to the course of this world. With respect to God, you are dead and you are lifeless. But with respect to the world, you're extremely active. You're very much alive with respect to the biological life, but very spiritually dead to spiritual life. That term course, you notice he says, you walked according to the course of this world. That word course means vital principle. It means life principle. It means that life apart from Jesus Christ is regulated by the life principle of this world. It means that we're forced into the mold of the world, and we have no source of recuperative energy by which to deliver ourselves from that mold apart from Jesus Christ. You see, the world, what is the world? The world is a system of thought and practice which is hostile to God and His truth and is fed and energized by Satan. We were forced into that mold. We were controlled and directed by that system. The world is society organized without reference to God. The world is secularism. It is the tendency to impute value to what God condemns. This is what worldliness is, and this is what the world is as a system. It is the tendency to impute value to what God condemns and to impute worthlessness to what God commands. Worldliness in the Christian experience is living by the wrong set of values, by perverted values, the values of this world system, which is hostile to God and fed and energized by Satan. The subhuman values of the world tend to subject people to bondage. Paul says we were enslaved to the world. The subhuman values of the world is secular, repudiating God. The world is amoral, repudiating absolutes. The world is materialistic, repudiating the spiritual. Those subhuman values tend to subject people to bondage. They no longer think for themselves. That's our world. They drift along the stream of the world's ideas of living, and we were all the same until Jesus Christ set us free.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
The flesh is anything which gives sin its chance in our being. It is human nature in rebellion against God. That's the flesh.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.